heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
The stakes could not be higher, people, as I say to you, and this struggle for power is a significant moment in time. It's more than just the Democrats and Republicans here that we're talking about. That's what you're seeing in the media waves. It's always Democrat, but there's far more than that. What you have right below the radar screen that people are not really talking about and your media is not talking about and clearly is all of these, we can call it whatever you want, but they're well-implanted operatives. It's AKA, you know, I don't want to minimize it by calling it a deep state kind of thing, but let's just say there are people that have been here a long damn time, too long. And they kind of know where all those bones are buried again, where the bugs are, what's happening. They're part of the apparatus of a corrupt society, and it is as corrupt as could be, people. So you've got this deep state on both sides, left and right, that clearly Trump is a threat to, has been a threat to, because Trump, the reason he's a duly elected president and the reason the America gave him the keys to the car, they not only gave him the keys to the car, but they loaded it up with gas. That should be a signal for everybody. I think that, and the real moment of reckoning is going to be at this next election, clearly, to see how much gas they really did put in the car. Or do they let that car stall out, possibly, potentially? We don't think so. We believe middle America will stand tall, people. But that struggle of those people, the reason you've seen a record amount of people leave politics, it's not an accident. And we're not just talking about the left people. We're absolutely talking about the right as well. I mean, a record amount of Republicans, 4 in 10 House Republicans in office when Trump was inaugurated have now quit or lost their seats. Can you imagine that? 4 in 10. Think about those numbers. They've either quit or lost their seats. Those are the House Republicans. So when I talk to you about cockroaches leaving in the middle of the night, and in this case, the middle of the day even, you know, then you get the sense of what I'm talking about. And this isn't I'm not doing a far left bash here at all. I'm doing a complete bash, people. This is a complete and full operative bash. So there you go. That's those people. Now, when you take that into consideration, and then you take, and I'm just going to keep beating that drum, and then you see what I really didn't believe years ago. I don't know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't know exactly when, but I really didn't believe in a lot of this deep state stuff. I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy. I didn't really fall for a lot of it, you know, honestly. And I really didn't fall for the globalist. I would hear that a lot of people talk about the globalist, and I didn't really buy that initially either. Full disclosure to you, I didn't really accept all that. I thought, that's a little stress there, man, that these globalists are in a room pulling the puppet strings to make all this happen. I don't really buy that. And so I was in denial for quite some time, actually. Didn't really buy all of that. And then, of course, you know, as they say, you know, what's that saying? The proof is in the pudding, I guess, huh? The proof is in the malarkey. And boy, there's a lot of proof out there now, isn't it? Well, see, what's happened is when you start to connect the dots and when you start to do that and you draw your jigsaw puzzle out, the evidence is overwhelming of what's really happening here. And so as I see what's happening with all the lies and the deceit and just the pure corruption and that stench again, that horrible stench, there is only one conclusion, people, and that is that this power grab is real and that there is absolutely a globalist movement. It is by far, it is real. It is here. It is now. And I'm a perfect poster child to have this conversation because I was never one of those people who believed it. I truly was not. But it's the evidence is overwhelming now, you know, Clay. So I have to just tell you the way it is. I have to tell you the out loud truth. You like it, you don't, I can't help it, people. It's the damn truth. So you have all of that that struggle happening. There are those people. And you know, when I talk about like the squad and the new people, as I mentioned to you yesterday on the program as well, I don't consider them part of the typical deep state apparatus operatives who've been here forever. This is a new breed of people. This is part of a globalist Green Deal, take it all down. We want to, you know, and I'm seeing this everywhere. I mean, I've got so many pieces I'm looking at and look, I mean, conversations from folks that, you know, you shake your head and you just can't believe it. You think, are these people looking at the same stuff I am? Are they living in the same country I am? Like, how high is their intellect? How high does the elevators go in this floor, I wonder? And I'm not just talking about AOC. I mean, she's certainly a dimly lit bulb if there ever was one. But there are far more than her people that are more than eating the Wheaties these days, aren't there now, you know? And they're widespread, and they're in both parties. So you all just relax. I'm not, again, just going after the left here. The right has plenty of dim-lit bulbs as well. Far too many to get into here. I mean, you know, it's just is what it is. I mean, it's a state of corruption, a total state of corruption. So when Pelosi comes out and she says, you know what, we're going to start the impeachment inquiry to a president that has been scrutinized, and they've gone through everything with this president, that's been the MO from moment one. Before he ever redecorated the Oval Office, before the furniture was there, before things got in there, before any of that happened, this was already in play. All of this has already been happening. They already knew he was a threat to the entire system, and they need to get him the hell out of there as quick as they can. So now they create every possible investigation, every theory, every thought process, everything they can take out of whack, and then convince themselves. And I think what they do is they go home at night and they truly convince themselves. I see these people looking in the mirror at night or first thing in the morning, convincing themselves. I see the atom shifts in the world, you know, convincing themselves and all of the, you know, well, and they really talk to themselves in the mirror and thinking, wow. And they're looking at the same stuff we are, but they're thinking differently, you know. I mean, they have a whole different way of looking at it. You know, you see after the investigation there, you know, these are the chairmen. These are the U.S. House Intelligence. And I love the word intelligence. How to use the word intelligence and Schiff in the same sentence is beyond me, huh? Anyways, it's just all so sick, disturbing. But this headline, U.S. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff. That doesn't even flow off my tongue easy, people. You know how painful it is to say that? He says that the transcript of Trump's call with the Ukrainian president for more was far more damning than expected. Far more damning. So you see, my point is these people they're thinking whatever they want to think. And they can look at it. So it doesn't really matter. So here's my message today. It's all just a bunch of distractions again, people. As we sit and debate what or was not in the transcript, all we're doing is playing their game. When we talk about who was on Zelensky and the Ukrainian call and what happened next, we're just playing their game. When is enough enough? When does the right stand up and act like the big boys and girls they need to act like and say to the left, you know what? We've had enough of your garbage. Shut the hell up and sit down. Now, you can call that whatever you want to call it, people. If that happens to be a civil war, well, I guess it is going to be what it's going to be now, isn't it, huh? What's the alternative? Yeah, a trip to Disney? Is that what you're looking for here, you know? It's a horror flick is what this is, people. So that's what's at stake here. That is really what's at stake is this deep state operatives and apparatus there. The globalist movement over here, the Dems and the Repubs doing what they do well, bitch slapping each other on a regular daily basis. In the meantime, everybody in the world stage looks at us and thinks we are the laughing stock of the planet. And this is it. And now they're doing what? Oh, they're dismantling each other. Oh, this is funny. Pull up a cheer, Ma. There's some popcorn for this one. They're punching each other in the gut. It's funny as hell to the rest of the world, that is, or to many people who just think we're out of our flipping minds over here. You know, must be all of that fentanyl we're taking or something, huh? Maybe. People, we're in a heap of trouble. You need to brace yourself now for what's going to happen in the days and weeks and months ahead here. Many of these people now are fomenting that President Trump is not going to leave office, that potentially, and you know, it's funny, we said the, you know, truth be told, we said the same thing about Obama. I'll be honest with you, we didn't think he was going to leave office either, quite frankly, because he was a Marxist that was in the Oval Office, and we thought he was, by hook or by crook, taking it all over. And that was at least what the evidence showed, you know. We didn't have a lot of comfort there either, people. I know I reported on it on national radio. I know. And so that's where we find ourselves now. And there are those who are saying, well, Trump is going to leave office peacefully. If he doesn't win the election in 2020, he's going to hang around. Or he's going to want a third term in 2024. Or he's going to, and it's just on, and it's just all speculation, really, about people who are fomenting, because this is what sells is fear. Fear and distraction. Fear and distraction. So the cause of today, people, the message today, it's all fear and distraction. Look the other way. Don't look over here. The evidence is not here. It's over there somewhere. And that's what these people do on a regular basis. So why did Pelosi call for an impeachment inquiry? People, they've had an impeachment inquiry from day number one. Before the furniture was in the White House, they've been looking at an impeachment inquiry. That's been their mode of operate from number day one. He never even got in the White House. I'll tell you, he never got there yet. And they were talking about that. How do we get this jackass out of the White House? A little too plain spoken for me, thank you. Doesn't fit our program. Doesn't really. I mean, Trump does not fit any of them. He's cavalier. He's reckless. He's certainly not presidential, and he doesn't fit into their brand of cornflakes, people. Go figure, huh? Wow.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, so we are joined here in a bigger conversation we'll have here with you now about this power struggle that is swallowing America whole. And I really believe what I said is fairly accurate here. I want to bring on some people now to talk a little bit further about what may not be so obvious to some of you that we need to point out. And it's time to stand a little taller here, I think. Let me bring on here, I want to introduce you first here to James Sinclair. I'd like to get his opinion on a few things. James is an entrepreneur. He's an American patriot, U.S. Marine Corps veteran. Everybody on this program here, I mean, they're all patriots. We're people who, we passionately love America. That's a message you heard me say yesterday. I pleaded with you and told you how much we love this country. For many of us, we it's very serious business here. James, you hear my thoughts and my opening to some of the in the monologue, open to the struggles that are happening here in the family. And I use the family loosely, James. You know what I'm saying? The family, you know?
I do.
And so the family is having a little bit of a squabble here as most of the world leaders are laughing at us being as silly as we're being here. Talk to me on where I opened up, please, because I've never talked to you about that, and I really would love to have your opinion, your honest thoughts and opinion on those opening comments, the power struggle that besets us in America right now, and what did I potentially get wrong or right in that, please?
Well, it's pretty clear. The corruption that we're seeing right now is epidemic, and we're kind of stuck in the muck right now. It's polarizing, and I really think the left is scared. Now, we have some right-wingers, some conservatives involved, but the corruption's epidemic. So It's infiltrated the agencies, you know, the FBI, the intelligence agencies. It's rampant, and we're not going to get anything done. And the left really felt, I thought, that Hillary would win the election. She didn't. So they go to an impromptu type of strategy, and they thought maybe they would remove him. It hasn't happened. It won't happen. So all they do is repeat themselves with this simple situation where they accuse, very accusatory. They throw some wild things out there. And yet every single time their strategy fails because their allegations are disproven. And I think they're kind of in a quandary right now. They don't know what to do. And so this will lead to the rigging of the election. This will lead to extreme measures, I think, where eventually we're going to be in a position where we're going to have to pick sides. If Trump stays, I'll bet there's a reason why. I'm not going to fall into the trap of, oh, this guy, they keep telling everybody he's crazy, but everything he's done has been masterful. Hmm. And I think at some point you have to say, I trust him.
Oh, James, that's a fantastic opening. I got to tell you, buddy, that's a fantastic segment. You said so many very interesting things to me there. I love this phrase, stuck in the muck, by the way, stuck in the muck. Boy, if that doesn't say plenty, huh? Let's talk about how scared they are a moment, James. Let's stay on that for one moment here before we bring on others here. And I want to stay with you a moment in these remarks here. They're scared. And I think you're right. And let me give you a point in case, please. When you've seen the speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and when she came out to the nation and spoke to the nation about this so-called impeachment inquiry, she looked, to me, visibly upset. She looked like she was falling apart, like almost like she was being reprimanded, like she was called to do something she knew she shouldn't be doing, but the pressure from her cabal there was so great and so hot, so heavy, that she had no choice. And she I also got the impression, James, that she knew she was going to go down a road that they probably would not be able to return from. And I'm speaking about her and her cabal and that whole setup. Am I where your thinking is, or what do you think on that?
Well, my thoughts are this. Pelosi's how old? She's been running the show for a long time. And let's be frank. Hillary, two-time loser, Pelosi, Feinstein, this group that's been well-funded, who's really been enriched by the globalists, have failed. And with the basic premise that I pay you a lot of money to do something, you better do it. Well, they failed. So now we're seeing, I think, a divide in the Democrats between the younger, the more energetic, the new ideas, the more radical ideas are appealing to those with the money, the globalists with the money. And so now Pelosi's in a position where even the younger generations aren't connecting with her. And since she's failed on so many different points with her, the money people, that she really has no choice right now, because those that are funding her aren't happy with her, and she's not connecting with her base anymore. So she's really going to fade away at some point. And much of them have, because you reach a point where Pelosi's not too bright. We know that. But you have nothing but money, mm-hmm. and you get in this position where, hey, I might go to jail, or people around me, or this is getting very uncomfortable, right. You retreat. You're not going to be in the front of the camera anymore shaking the tree, because you know you're damaged goods. We don't want the microscope on us when you're committing big crimes. And right now, when this whole thing falls, they'll start at the bottom and they'll work their way up. Mm-hmm. There'll be deals cut, and we'll find out who and how it all plays out. But at the end of the day, she has nothing to gain from this. She's wealthy. She has multiple homes. Mm-hmm. Those that are pulling the strings are outside the circles. Now, I think they're going to give some new blood a new chance.
Yeah. That's what you say there is plenty true there. She is, it's safe to say, James, it's not going to end well for Pelosi, is it?
No, it's not. Not for a lot of them. And right now, because Trump's so masterful and he keeps winning. I mean, nobody can name one thing that he's failed on. Nothing. The guy has really navigated well. He's a great leader. And I think that because the Democrats are seeing it too, you're seeing a mass exodus.
Yeah.
So what I think the Dems will do will just get more radical.
Wow.
They'll follow the money, and then they're going to rig the election.
Wow. I got to tell you what, Sinclair, you've given me a lot of hope here, buddy. hearing what you say there, that was a really great way to open this conversation up, because I think people need to hear from you when you're saying those kinds of things here. That's important. Arnetta Nockin is here. Arnetta, producer, commentator here in a 30-year career on Wall Street. And Arnetta, before we bring even McKay in, I want to talk to you a moment here about picking up on, again, the masterful comments here of Sinclair here and what he's saying, stuck in the mark. So I don't believe it's going to end well at all for Pelosi. I think he's right when he says she really was put into a corner. She was being, she held off as long as she could. Because there's a push happening right now from the entire apparatus, from the entire deep state globalist movement, because of what he just said. And again, Sinclair is right when he says, hey, wait a minute now. There's, you know, what has Trump done wrong exactly? He's a threat to them in a way like they haven't seen before, and they quite don't know what to do with it. So we knew this day was coming, but here we are, Arnetta. So what happens next, you think?
Well, I think James is correct. The old puppet's strings are frayed. And they have not been successful, so they did go out and recruited new puppets. Mm-hmm. But from the very beginning, the globalists planned on having a puppet government that they would run. So they are desperate. I don't think they're scared, but I think they're desperate because they have said Trump and his supporters are the last barrier to one world order globalism. And they are prepared to go after Trump for anything and everything, even though he's done nothing. They manufacture it. There's articles out, and particularly in their private gatherings. Their slogan, besides win at all cost, is now Trump losing in 2020 is an existential threat to the country, to the United States, to the world. Meaning that if he is duly elected legally, that they will say that he was not elected legally. They will do everything to steal the election and probably get the populist vote with all the illegal votes. And they'll say that he lost, but nullify our voices when we say he didn't, even down to challenging the rule of law. They're saying that he is a malignant narcissist who mm-hmm. will refuse to leave the office and weaponize the far right group of terrorists to support him, to keep him, quote unquote, as a dictator on the throne.
So you're saying they've stacked the deck pretty well. I mean, that's really what you're saying. They've stacked the deck pretty well here.
Well, if you think about it, they have weaponized every aspect of our lives, from the government to our schools to brainwashing the youth. Look at the climate change, children crying that the world's going to end.
Wow.
So that the youth will turn against their parents and anybody that resists. You name it.
Yeah.
They've weaponized that department or aspects of our lives. Mm-hmm. They have planned this for over 60 years. It's a strategic plan. Mm-hmm. They're not stupid. They're very cunning, and they're maniacal in their desire for control.
Wow. 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 Well said. Let's bring in Brother McKay here. Jim McKay is here. He's a political analyst, a commentator, producer here. 30 years again, telecommunications, global technology. Jim, this is really, I think, a brilliant conversation, listening to James Sinclair and Arnetta here about where we find ourselves right now. And this movement, but let's stay on this weaponization. I think that's fascinating when Arnetta says, it made me really think a moment there, because think about it in these terms. It seems to me, Jim, they have really weaponized everything. And when you think about the FBI and the CIA and the DNI and the NSA, and they've weaponized all the government agencies. They've weaponized the entire apparatus. They've weaponized the entire media megaphone of the media world. They've weaponized all the schools. Everything I talk about every day to our people, our education system, our universities, the entire education from elementary to, you know, they've weaponized all of it, Jim. So there is, and that's why you have to begin to connect the dots. Even if you're not a believer in a globalist movement, it becomes so apparent that you can no longer deny it, what's taken place here. Even those practical people like myself, I consider myself, if you can believe it or not, Jim, a practical person that is, you know, a seeker of truth. So what do you say to all of that? If this has all been weaponized now, and now we're kind of in this fight for what's going to happen next, and Pelosi's in the corner, as Sinclair says moments ago here. What happens next?
Okay, listening to the previous comments and the news and the media, I look at this now as reached the theater of absurdity. Mm-hmm. Everything that's going on from the Democrat side, the mass media, all the other quote-unquote pundits out there, the attacks that started on Trump even before the election and were intensified on November 9th, 2016. There have been more attacks on this president than we made during World War II on the Japanese, I think. It's ridiculous. It's reached that point. This whistleblower, second party hearsay thing that went to the head of the intelligence Inspector General for that department, going now, you know, being called on immediately before it ever was seen by anybody for impeachment of the president on what was in that. And that is turning out to be a dud.
He's not a whistleblower, Jim. So let's divulge that. He's not a whistleblower.
He was a second party to it.
Right. I mean, that's right.
First knowledge, never seen the document or the conversation. There was, in 2017, a group of people went to the Supreme Court for a writ of magnanimous, mm-hmm. seeking to nullify the U.S. election. And basically, based on the fact that the Russians had influenced the election. And we all know that Mueller's report, after 22 months of a witch hunt, came out and said there was absolutely no links between the President of the United States, the Republican Party, the campaign personnel, or any other American with the Russians to influence the campaign. And it's the burden of proof. The Supreme Court met later in the year and in a committee and went back to himself. The burden of proof is on the petitioners, which are the people that filed this for this writ, saying that it's a party contesting an election carries a heavy burden, and it implies that the most egregious nature approximating criminal activity has to be met. That's not the case, because you had this independent investigation 22 months. Now we have the media in the Democrats that have absolutely nobody. I mean, Biden's future in the election is you know, he was looked at the savior coming out of no place to run. They had to convince him to run. Their hopes of winning in 2020 all totally rest on character assassination of the president, this identity politics against anybody else. If you're identified, they're trying to say, if you're identified with Trump, you're also a bad candidate. Mm-hmm. And they have no evidence to prove any of these things beyond a probable or reasonable certainty that is needed if they're going to go to the court. People are talking now they're going to go back to the Supreme Court based on what happened in Gore versus Bush in 2000 that set a precedent. They're saying it was a precedent for the court intervening in the election where they stopped the recounts. And there's this, what they call an equal protection clause within election law, which was applied to the Bush versus Gore case to end the recounts. Okay. So they're going to, one of the things, if they don't get this impeachment going. And actually, the statement made by Nancy Pelosi in recently basically was not a vote of impeachment. They have to vote on the House floor and get a majority of the House to initiate actual process of impeachment. This is just a continuation of the bluster that Nadler, Schiff, and other people, Blumenthal, have been going on for the last two and a half years.
Okay, so when you call it the theater of the absurdity, that is another phrase that sticks with me, that is appropriate here, but here's the thing. So what's our alternative right now? Like, you come through a few litany points and thoughts. In fact, I was talking about a lot of this with Colonel Warshak in our broadcast yesterday, and a lot of these points here. And here's what I really wonder, though, McKay, is this. If we continue to give them, we've given them a lot of room here, a lot of leverage. We've given them a lot of rope to hang themselves, basically. The more rope we give them, the more they take. The more the right bends over and says, okay, we're going to play with you here, just like the whole Mueller thing. Everybody knew everything. We knew what was happening before they all knew or anybody admitted anything. And every investigation that's happened since and every accusation, as you say, is part of the theater of the absurdity. However, they are very good at distracting the American people with their megaphone and the fact that they run the entire apparatus of media and education. They're very good at it. And patriots are left here, and I phrase patriots as the connection to us and the framers, as the people who truly love the Republic of America and what the country stands for. And so if we play with them on this next absurd moment that you point out, McKay, and we say, okay, we're going to play with you, and we now get into, as you just started to do, and as Warshak does, as we tend to do on the right, when does the right get so incensed that they push back hard enough, McKay, and they say, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. We've had enough. We don't want to discuss Ukraine with you. We don't want to discuss that phone call. We're not going to do any of it. And you're not getting your impeachment, so shut the hell up and move along here. You've had enough. In other words, they've gone beyond three strikes, McKay. They've gone beyond extra innings. The people left the ballpark and went home. They already counted the score, and we already know what the game is, and yet they came back for more. So back to your comments of the theater of the absurdity, or what our buddy James Sinclair says, stuck in the muck, and I can put in other few words that rhyme with that, but I won't here because we're on a family program here, okay, of how we really feel. So back to that theater of the absurdity. So what really do we play with them and talk about Ukraine, or is it time to get in their face and say, you know what, Pelosi, we're not going to do this with you. And we refuse. So what if we refuse to engage with them? Is that, is it time for us to say, we're not going to engage? We're not going to talk to you on this. We're not going on the news programs. The entire right come together, because the left comes together very well. They are lock in step with everything these people want, but the right suck at that. What if the right does that now, McKay? What do you think about that?
I think that's the right direction to be going in. President Trump is already, without invoking directly executive privilege, had anybody that's being called before these hearings taking the position of there is a privilege between the conversations of the president and themselves. Lewandowski, in his time, many hours in front of Nadler and the group, used that a number of times and really frustrated the Nadler and the Democrats on that committee. I think that's a strategy that needs to be invoked. The other strategy is to ignore those bastions of liberal centers, New York, New Jersey, parts of, and even cities, not even states. California, why should he waste a minute going to California? Because it's 90% brainwashed Democrats, and take his message directly to the people, which he does with the rallies. And the Democrats have taken the position of, oh, these are, you know, shows and just nonsense and everything and all these out there. But it worked really well in 2016, and it's really the only venue he has to get the message out there.
Jim,
I can respectfully disagree with you on that. Okay. I think he needs to go to these big cities. He needs to come to California. There are those of us in California that are still fighting for him out here. Yeah. California raised the second largest money in the country for him. So he needs to go to these areas that everybody has written off, because it's the only way that he's going to have an effect, and he's going to give hope to those people that are still fighting, because if he doesn't give them hope, they're not going to vote. And if they don't vote, then he's not going to win.
Well, so the cards are stacked so badly on the West Coast, Arnetta, that what McKay is saying, that he doesn't have any chance of winning there, sadly. But when he referenced 90%, we have a lot of great friends out there. In fact, we have a lot of listeners in California, proudly I say that. And there is a lot of conservatives out there. They've just been drowned out.
90% liberals, though.
There's which is so when Jim, so when McKay, so when Jim McKay says that, you don't disagree with the 90%, right? You don't.
I disagree with the 90%.
Oh,
yes.
You do. Okay, that's what I'm wondering, because both you and I think James, you're also from California. Is that correct?
I am.
Yeah. So I knew when McKay said that, he was stepping in a pile of you know what. I thought, oh my golly, boy, does he have big ones. To say that on the program here with two California, of course, McKay, you used to live in California, right?
A long time.
So you say that affectionately with love and support. Is that correct? Wink, wink.
Yes.
Malcolm, I'll take it a step further.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you asked yourself, why are they going after Kavanaugh again? If he is.
Well, they're off of Kavanaugh now. That brand of Wheaties they already drank. But go ahead.
No, they're trying to nullify his vote.
Oh, sure.
Because this election may end up in the Supreme Court again.
Right.
And they are nullifying or attempting to nullify every step that we, the moderates, conservatives, anyone that would vote the Republican ticket, every step they are working at nullifying.
Okay.
And
all right.
The second part of that might be they want to incite us. They want us to use terms like there'll be violence if he's overthrown, if he's not, you know, elected legally, if he's not elected because of illegal voting. And they're using that in their private gatherings, in their fundraisers, and saying, you know, they're going to pick up their arms and they're going to keep him on the throne, and that's why the push for to disarm us. But they also can use that if that happens and call that Trump has incited civil war.
And I knew you were going to hit back against California. And I get that. And I understand that with all the cities and what's going on. But again, we've given them up to the far left as well, all the urban cities. I mean, I've been talking about that, the decline of America's cities on this broadcast, and reminding people of our great flagship cities, how they're in major decline, in disarray because of far left policies. And so for middle America to look at those cities and think that, is that what you want from coast to coast here? I mean, people, come on. I mean, grow a brain. I mean, wake up. And for anybody, and your friends, again, your friends, your liberal friends, I know you got liberal friends out there. You all got them. And your blue dogs, or your, I know that's a term we don't hear very much today at all, or you're just left of center people, moderates, or people with a couple of brain cells, maybe. I'm not sure. Take your pick on there. But we got to get to those people. We got to get them on the program here, and we've got to get to those folks, people. That's the mission here, truly. So, all right, what I want to do here is this, people, follow what I'm doing here now. So McKay says he kind of agreed with me, which I was surprised to see that, but he was kind of saying, you know, you're right. We can't feed into their narrative. What I'm saying now, my words are, you can't feed into that narrative and continue to play investigation. I mean, these people are playing the shell game beyond anything that's ever been played. We're so confused with shells and balls at this point that we don't know where the hell the ball is or what we're talking about anymore, because there's too much going on, too many investigations, too many problems. So then the question becomes, how do we play defense on something like this? And I proposed to Jim McKay, well, what if we don't play anymore with them and we stop making it comfortable for them? And I really mean when I say that, I don't want to talk about being comfortable. I don't want to make them comfortable anymore. I don't want to talk about that. I don't really want to talk about Zelensky and what the president talked about with the world leader. So why do we keep playing their game? Why do we keep going through the motions? Why don't we push back and say, enough? You've had enough. You've had enough investigations. You've had enough of this crap, and we're not going to play it anymore. And so the answer is no. And that means all the right connect themselves, and they don't talk about it on broadcast. What if they completely shut down? What if?
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the people, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. We're joined back here again, friends, with James Sinclair, Arnetta Notkin, Jim McKay. So I pose to you all, what if, because I'm not trying to be funny when I say that, or smug, or some smart ass James Sinclair. That's not really the point of this. Believe me, it's not. But I'm respectfully saying, how long can we continue to play these games? How long? How far do we go? I've played along with all the investigations. I've played along with learning where all the players are, where all the bones are, who said what. What I'm trying to point out is so obvious to me, James, and it's this. The energy we put in, that good, faithful, and patriotic Americans put in to playing these games with them, the energy we put into that as a country is truly amazing. And I'm just being a common sense, logical person. I'm just looking at all this now and saying, here's one more they want us to play again? Is to another way to get the president out of office? Where does it end? And when you said early on, it's stuck in the muck, they're stuck in the muck. So what I'm asking you, so I don't want to play in the muck anymore. So why can't the right push back? And how do we do that, James? Tell us how we... I mean, is this a fairy tale what I'm saying about, or can we push back enough to say, you know what, we're not going to be stuck in the muck with you. Too bad, so sad. Go ahead, move it along. Talk about all the crap you want to talk about. We're not going to do it. What if there was it? Could there be a collective force? Could the right finally get it? Is that even possible, or am I dreaming?
Well, I think you bring up a really good point. We've reached a point where it's been almost 3 years. But we have to ask ourselves a big question. Is what we're doing by playing the game working? And the answer is, for the most part, it is. Because the left is one-dimensional. This appeared to be complicated at one point. Mm-hmm. Now Trump is really simplifying it because the Dems keep losing. It's things like the Ukraine. It's things like the corruption, the Russian story, et cetera. They just, when it's all done, there's nothing there. They're being exposed themselves, just like Biden. Biden is risking a lot here by playing the same game. I used to think the Dems were really complicated. I don't think they're stupid, but every time they make an assertion against Trump, it really is they themselves and the problems that they're experiencing. And all they're doing is flipping it, because I go back to, they don't know what to do with this guy. They don't. And they've lost major ground, in my opinion. They've lost a lot of credibility. And I would even say this. Trump should go to California. Trump should go wherever he needs to go in this country, because he wins. He gets crowds unlike anyone. And I think when California sees that there's more hope here, you'll see the support for him double.
I mean, all right, so let's play on your scenario just a moment. Hold on. I like what you're saying here a moment. Let's play on your scenario here, please. So what if he does that? Now, would you agree with me that there's going to be no new legislation in the next many months between now and 2020? There's no legislation happening. You agree with that?
I agree for the most part, sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's none. They're not going to work. What are they going to work on? Getting Trump out of office. That's what they're working on. Every committee in the Democrat Party, all those committees – are all working on getting President Trump out of office. That's all they're working on, Sinclair, night and day. These people go to bed, they dream of lollipops, fairy tales, and gingerbread thieves coming through the middle of the night to kick the president in the you-know-what to get him out of office. That's what's happening there. Every breath these people take. What's that song, Every Breath I Take? That's right. That could be the theme song of this whole thing here with these Marxists. So,
but one of the things that Trump's been successful at,
right,
is getting support from the minorities. I mean, Look at his election. A lot of support from the black community, a lot of support from other minorities. And it really was astonishing to many. Never thought in a million years he would get that much support. So I think the more time he spends anywhere, he's going to get rewarded for it.
They're tired of being kicked around, right, James? I mean, they're tired.
Well, they are. Right, yeah. Well, it's been 50 years. I mean, At some point you wake up and you say,
hello. Hey,
this ain't the party that this isn't the party that I signed up for.
I mean, at some point, the light bulb goes on. Hello, is anybody home? I mean, you know, and finally, you bring up a couple of valid points with all the minorities and the success he's having. They're very interesting. The other thing I wonder is this. I grew up as a public relations guy. I did that all my life. I spent 25 years in corporate boardrooms, actually, before coming to the mic and wanting to make the world a better place. Go figure, people, huh? He ought to take a one-way ticket out of there right now and put the – you know what I'd do? Take the Oval Office and put it on Air Force One and just go from city to city, talk to the American people, sit down and have the old fireside chat. Remember the fireside chat?
I do.
Yeah, and if it's hot, you can put ice cubes out there. It doesn't matter to me. Just have a chat. Get the people out there, have a chat, and talk. And the guy don't drink, so he's never drunk or high. So, but you can drink lemonade. Whatever, man. Doesn't have to be bourbon and whiskey or whatever. Just talk, man. And what if he does that chat with the American people and talks about things? But could he do this? Here's the problem that I think probably, Sinclair, is this. He doesn't have control over – he doesn't have the control to be able to back off the crack pipe when it comes to the socialist Marxists. He couldn't possibly stop from that. But what if he brought a positive message to the people? Which, God, we're in such need of that right now when we're talking about uniting America. You know, I mean, is that even possible, though? Or is that another – I mean, that couldn't happen, could it?
Well, I mean, it's a comprehensive approach. I mean, you can't give up on the state. You can't give up on the state of California. You can't give up on New York. But what you can do is go there and send your message. It's worked for 3 years. I would continue that. And I would also make it a policy where any institution, university, higher education must have a equal between Dems and conservatives in their faculty. I want to see, you have 100 professors. I want to see within two or three, 50 Dems and 50 Republicans. Because the higher education has to be held accountable. We can't continue to allow the children to be indoctrinated without.
See, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's not just universities, it's the elementary school kids too, James.
We do it there as well.
I mean, they're out there, you know.
There has to be a fix.
Oh, yeah. Well, but they've given all that up is the problem. And then, like I said, the right cries that they don't know why they're losing. They feel like they're losing. You're pointing out today, they may not be so losing. Interesting approach. Arnetta, is it possible that you know me enough to know that I'm an out-of-the-box thinker. You know that I don't have a box in my life. I never think in those terms, Arnetta. I always think about, well, back to the theater of the absurdity. I always think about how we can get there and trying to break new ground. So what if we, you know, we talk about having think tanks and big conversations. But what if we did do that and we could connect the right in such a way to get them to push back and not play that game, but to get on the road and get to all of this? Because, you know, we're not good at protest and the right doesn't march. They don't protest well. They give all that ground up to the left as well. That's why the left has the megaphone. But then all they do is complain, Arnetta. Where does it end?
Well, I think we do have the ability and we have the opportunity. We can arrange rallies in our communities, in our cities, in our states. We can get security because we need security. Talk radio is a prime example of uniting all digital conservative voices.
It's the one area they don't own, Arnetta. It's the one area they don't own.
That's exactly right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we have the opportunity to do it. We just need to do it now. Just like everybody else, we just do it. Get off the couch, turn off the TV, and make it happen. Turn off that mainstream media. Don't buy the products that are fighting against Trump. Use your wallet, but spend your time to doing something positive, and that is organizing rallies, meetings, voter registration, cleanup in the communities. But talk radio opens the door.
Arnetta, your advice is so good. It's so worldly for people to listen to. I swear to you, everything you just put out there, I almost want you to create a bulleted list for me, please, of everything you just said. Bullet by bullet by bullet, because what you just laid out is a recipe, or it's an agenda. It's a recipe for reclaiming the republic, basically. The things we need to do here, bing, 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 all the way down the line here. I mean, you got to at least love that. You know, at least at the end of the day, Jim, we and you are, you know, you've always got great thoughts, great advice, and always enjoy having you on because you're an intellect who gets all this, well, as you say, the theater of the absurdity. I'm just a little tired of playing the game. But I also respect what James Sinclair says, and I really appreciate his wisdom and advice here today, McKay, because he says, you know, we're winning. And, you know, I can hear George McClellan in my ear, and I can hear Del Wilburn, all of our amazing patriots on this platform. I hear them all in my ear right now saying, yeah, Sinclair's right. We're winning. We ain't going to step off the gas. We're going to jam it right up their backside. I don't know. What do you think, McKay? What do you think? Is that possible?
I think the winning strategy for President Trump and the party is A, stop attacking the Democrat candidates right now. They're destroying each other. Their leading candidate only has a 20% of the overall vote. And by the time you get down to number six, it's one. They'll destroy each other in the next 3 or 4 months. President should, in that time, concentrate on, like everyone says, on the positive message. Get out there, put the positives out in front of everybody. Choose where you want to go. And I'm thinking that by Super Tuesday, which is in March, you're going to know who's going to be the Democrats' candidate. At that time, you take your structured achievements and everything you've done as president, and now you start also laying out the legislation again that they have done nothing on, like they haven't approved the new replacement for the USMCA has not been approved. It's been sitting there for a year.
None of that's going to get done now, Jim, right? None of that's going. What's going to get done? They're not going to vote anything in.
But even if it's not getting done, you put it out there.
You put it
in the Senate. So you can show that as the president going into the election for almost 4 years, I have all these accomplishments and I have all these roadblocks by the Republican House. Mm-hmm. That's the way you get the House vote back. That's going to keep the Senate by showing that they have done nothing except obstruct and resist for 4 years.
Well, and I believe that Americans know that. Middle America knows what you just say there, McKay. It's very accurate, very true. I mean, that's obstruct. Their whole, every bit of their energy and attention, every bit of their DNA has gone into not only obstructing the president, but how to remove him out of office. Think about how sick that is, people. How sick is that? Every waking moment has gone toward that end. That, like all their energy, it's not gone to, solving the problems. It's not governing. It's not new policies to help improve your life. I mean, isn't that what an election used to be about, in fact? I mean, wasn't that always, think about that. I mean, wasn't our elections always about things we were going to accomplish? You think back to all the previous elections and think about, it was always about that, people. You don't run for a seat and get into office and saying, yeah, I'd like to be the president of the nation, or I'd like to be your congressman or your senator or your mosquito catcher in control because, you know, I want to impeach the dude who's in there. Because why? Because he sucks. Why? Because he's, he's turning over too many stones. He's, the stench has gotten a little stronger. The deep state is swirling a little too much. Need to get him out of there. I mean, that's not how you win an election. You win an election by the things you're going to do for the people. So based on that, people, I think that's actually a glitter of good news and hope, because I think back to what we're talking about here, think about this in this terms. If all this energy now that they've been spending, as James Sinclair said moments ago, for the last 3 years, all that energy has been spent on getting Trump out of office. From day one, before day one, this is before the ball game ever even started, they wanted him out of there because they knew he was a threat. They knew he was a, I guess affectionately, a loudmouth New Yorker who really didn't have anything much to lose. Wasn't in it for the money specifically, had enough money to deal with it, to live a comfortable life, if that's what you want in life. He's not a druggie or a drinker, so he couldn't put the money in drugs, drinking, or any of that, right? So what are you going to do? Might as well get involved in the game of politics, save the republic. Boy, that was, talk about, again, historical moments of our lives, historical moments. To think that we all were here and lived when we seen the escalator ride down. How interesting is that? Oh, man, we were actually here. And we seen the escalator ride. I mean, that's a moment in time, you know? Wow. Other people can't say that. I mean, that was a game changer, basically. Now, listen, I'm not one of these people who believe that Trump is the cure-all or the sunshine in the morning or take my breath away or whatever. That's not it here. I'm excited about America. I'm excited about the republic is what I'm excited about. I'm excited about you out there. That's what I'm. And if he happens to be the vessel that can help us get there, damn well sign me up. And any else, any of you others that got an answer for that, I'm all on you as well. But that's what I'm looking for is what keeps us healthy. What brings us, keeps us to back to our independence, our republic. What keeps our Constitution alive and well? What keeps America? This amazing, amazing place. Beautiful, beautiful city on the hill that we live on. God, I wonder what Ronald Reagan is thinking these days as he rolls around in his grave. I'm wondering, huh? What can you be thinking about? What is he thinking about the city on a shining hill? Well, can you only imagine if he was alive today and was thinking about all of this? It's beyond the pale, isn't it, people? It's almost can't even comprehend it. How far we've come. Since then, since those simpler days to the 9/11 chapter, the indoctrination of Islam policies, the bureaucracy and takeover of the Marxist, socialist, the globalist movement. And here we are standing bare ass in the middle of the wind, wondering, okay, where do we go next? What do we do? Well, let's not be stuck in the muck, huh? And let's not subscribe to the theater of the absurdity. But let's take our freedoms and our republic back, people, and let's keep it right there. That's the orders we got to do here. Big thank you to James Sinclair, Arnetta Nockin, Jim McKay. A lot back at AmericaOutloud.com, my friends. Stay there. The brilliance, the articles, and the writers back there are truly amazing. The people in the podcast and all the shows out there, truly amazing. So get involved in the game. Help us do some heavy lifting. There's a lot to do, and it's worthy of the mission ahead. People, it's time to get involved and get loud.